Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Last month, the Democratic candidates held the Climate Change Crisis Town Hall, where they exposed their policies and their beliefs in the apocalypse of global warming. Last week, the candidates did it again. They held another town hall exposing their ideology, this time an LGBTQ town hall, where all the candidates offered their celebration and their support for the LGBTQ agenda, proposing to create a government task force to find and root out opposition to LGBTQ, to remove tax-exempt status from any church or institution that holds to a biblical view of marriage, that people should be allowed to choose whatever gender pronouns they prefer, that the government should allow for alternative identification on government ID besides just male and female, and that children should be supported in choosing to transition to whatever gender they prefer. The platform of the Democrat Party and the LGBTQ agenda was laid out plainly for everyone to see. Now, in 2019, we have legalization of homosexual marriage, transgenderism. Children are being told that gender is a choice, bathroom choice, moral policies that would have been unthinkable 25 years ago. Even Barack Obama in 2008 said that he didn't support same-sex weddings and he believed marriage is between a man and a woman. The homosexual movement, public campaign back in the 1990s and in 2000, was all about wanting to be left alone, to have libertarian government policies where you have the freedom to do what you want to do as long as you give them the freedom to do what they want to do. But pro-traditional family activists were saying, no, their agenda is far more invasive. They want homosexual marriage. They want gender norms erased from the society, starting in the public schools. So we shouldn't be surprised by where we are in 2019. If we were listening to the gay community back in the 1990s, they were actually telling us what they were going to do. Well, now in 2019, they're telling us what they plan to accomplish over the next decade. Are we listening? Or do we naively think it could never happen here in America? And this LGBTQ agenda is not coming from secret recordings from closed meetings. This is coming from mainstream Democrat candidates who are not only supportive of homosexuality, but they want to pass the whole progressive LGBTQ agenda. And they expose it all in this LGBTQ town hall. And in the providence of God, this is for us to see, to learn from, and to be prepared for. This town hall was sponsored by the Human Rights Campaign, a homosexual public policy activist group. And the Democratic candidates were tripping over themselves, pandering to the sentiments of this group in the LGBT community. But in so doing, they exposed the Democrat agenda. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, Christians are told to not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather to expose them. But in this case, we didn't even have to expose anything. We didn't have to do any undercover investigation, no hidden cameras, no hidden mics, like Project Veritas. They exposed themselves. So nobody can say that this is made up, that this is just fear-mongering on the part of right-wing fundamentalists. No, this is the agenda from their own mouths. Now, it was Beto O'Rourke who let the cat out of the bag by saying he would take away tax-exempt status from all religious groups that do not support LGBTQ. Most insiders knew that this is what the movement planned to do once in power, but Beto O'Rourke actually said it in a mainstream political venue. Now understand what this means. If the tax-exempt status is removed from religious institutions, from churches, from Christian colleges, from publishers, it is not as if these groups can still practice their beliefs, but just be taxed. What happens is that they now fall under the rules for any LLC corporation, which means it's illegal to discriminate against anyone on the basis of sexual orientation. And so this is not just about losing tax-exempt status. This closes the door. This dissolves the assets of any religious institution that holds to a biblical view of marriage. Now, all of the negative response from Beto's proposal was coming from conservative media. Some left-leaning news outlets pointed out that Beto's remarks were not exactly politically expedient, such as this article in The Atlantic. Democrats are going to regret Beto's stance on conservative churches. The candidates seem not to realize that eliminating tax exemption for certain religious institutions would be catastrophic. At Thursday night's nationally televised forum on LGBTQ rights, candidate Beto O'Rourke showed how far and how quickly the Democrat Party has moved. The former Texas congressman caused quite a stir when he said he would support revoking the tax-exempt status of religious institutions, colleges, churches, and charities if they oppose same-sex marriage. But even though O'Rourke's comments were criticized by some, I've not seen any interview or any article where any of the other Democrat candidates spoke against Beto's proposal. Maybe it's because if they opposed Beto's comments, they would be criticized by the LGBTQ community. It kind of looks like the media is covering for these other candidates by not asking them what they thought or what they think of the tax-exempt issue. It's likely that they all agree with Beto. You know, in this town hall, it wasn't as if each of the candidate was asked to comment on each of the questions. They each were given a hand-picked question that they could safely answer. Beto about removing tax-exempt status, Warren supporting gender choice for children, Buttigieg about gay men giving blood, Klobuchar about conversion therapy being made illegal, Castro about linking U.S. foreign policy to LGBTQ rights. Each candidate was given a specific issue, and there was no argument or disagreement between the candidates. This was not a debate. This was all the candidates affirming the position of the human rights campaign, the LGBT community. And they all supported each other's policy proposals. Now, in a moment, I'd like to address some of the specific statements made by the candidates. They were outrageous. You know, they all showed how these candidates are thoroughly vested in the LGBT agenda and worldview. But first, let's just look at the overall philosophy underpinning these policy proposals. Often we fault the fruit and we forget to examine and fault the root. First, this was not simply about social disapprovement toward those who disagree with homosexuality or transgenderism. This was about using the power of government to persecute those who disagree. Notice the difference. The candidates could have said, we support LGBTQ, but all moral questions and opinions should be left to individuals. People should have moral freedom. The government shouldn't mandate the culture. The government simply gives everyone moral freedom and let the culture become what the culture becomes without government coercion. But these candidates stepped into a whole other realm of public policy. They all took the position that the government must use its coercive power to force acceptance of LGBTQ. And there are a number of levels here. First, requiring tolerance of homosexual behavior. A second level would be to require acceptance. There is a big difference between tolerating something and accepting something. A third level would be requiring the active celebration or support of LGBTQ. And the fourth level would be using the state to punish those who have anti-homosexual opinions or practices. And these candidates were talking in terms of this fourth level. The LGBTQ movement did not stop at level one. They never planned to stop at level one. This town hall was not about equality. It was about discriminating against religious people who personally do not accept or celebrate LGBTQ. The left has become so emboldened that they have left seeking tolerance, and now empowered, they seek to have dominance. And this is Judges 19 and Genesis 19, where the Sodomites were not just content with their lifestyle, they went on to beat down the doors of the righteous. This is the nature of sin. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Not only do they do these things, but they also demand approval in the temptation of Christ. Satan didn't just want autonomy. He wanted God to bow down and worship him. He would give up all the kingdoms of this world if he could just get Jesus to celebrate his rebellion. Now, a word needs to be said here about certain commentators and their belief in libertarianism. This is some biblical discernment that the Christian community needs to get up to speed on. You know, last week I heard quite a few commentators, pundits, say that this town hall went too far, that we conservatives are all on board with homosexual marriage. Hey, if that's what floats your boat, the government should give you that freedom. But now you want to force your beliefs on us. But this is where the libertarian position always leads. The right to practice sin will always lead to the dominance of immorality. It will affect your rights. I mean, if transgenderism is a right, then a transgender can dress however he wants. He can parade his transgenderism in public school before children. And if the state prohibits this, that would be favoring Christian morality. And for libertarians, they can't have that. They want some sort of neutral position, but that's impossible in a society because people are moral beings. And the government is an institution that doesn't just protect your rights. It actually establishes what is morally right in a nation. Now, 75 years ago, we have to admit that the government and our laws persecuted homosexuals. You couldn't hold certain jobs. You couldn't parade your beliefs in public. You were fined if you were caught cross-dressing or engaging in homosexual sex. But the LGBTQ movement now wants a world where the opposite prevails, where Christian moral positions are considered harmful and bigoted and socially unacceptable and illegal. Christian morality must be stopped with the full force of law, just like homosexuality was stopped with the full force of law 75 years ago. So libertarians and some conservatives see this and say, oh, how wrong America was in the past for persecuting homosexuals. Now, all we need to do as a nation is just let people live their own way. We should have done that in the past. You know, if you wanted to be a polygamist, if you wanted to have multiple wives, go ahead. If you wanted to be a transgender, go ahead, as long as you don't hurt anyone. So now that we realize our mistake, we're going to let LGBTQ do their own thing. Let's all agree on personal freedom, but don't persecute us just like we persecuted you in the past. Now, that's the opinion of conservative libertarianism. But look what's happened. The LGBT movement is using the strong arm of government to stop the practice of Christian morality and Christian teaching. The mistake these libertarians made is in assuming that God calls a government to simply build roads and to promote human equality. When Romans chapter 13, God calls the government to be an avenger against those who practice evil. The government is called of God not to enforce the sacraments of the church, but to enforce natural law, to stop pedophilia, to stop transgenderism and homosexuality and polygamy and incest. The libertarian position that government is not to enforce the law of God by default ends up supporting and promoting immorality, the opposite worldview. Because if it's not positive, it's going to be negative. The absence of God automatically means godlessness. There's no middle ground. Every individual, every nation must decide what is true and what is right morally. Culture must actually discriminate against immorality and perversion. There's good discrimination and there's bad discrimination. And Western nations, having a heritage of Christian culture, traditionally supported the Christian worldview. But now, in these last days, in our apostasy, all this is being reversed. Now, why is this? Well, man's sinful tendency, man's depraved nature. But in ethical thought, the rationale for this change has been a new foundation for ethics. The foundation for what is right and wrong has been moved. Society has moved off the foundation of God's law onto the foundation of human autonomy, human freedom, and what is right is now whatever furthers your moral freedom. That's the standard of right and wrong. And this is why there's a double standard. Why LGBTQ can discriminate and be bigoted toward the Christian worldview, but the Christian position cannot be bigoted and discriminate the LGBTQ worldview. Because the LGBTQ worldview is assumed to be right. Now, unless there was that assumption of the rightness or the moral superiority of their position, they could never support their proposals. Eliminating tax-exempt status from those who hold to traditional marriage, outlawing therapy to help homosexuals come out of homosexuality. But where does their moral superiority assumption come from? What is their authority to claim that they are right and you are wrong? Well, that's a question that should have been asked at these town halls. And I'll tell you where it comes from. It's because they've changed the basis or the foundation for morality. This was seen throughout the entire town hall meeting here. For example, Beto O'Rourke said the following: "There can be no reward, no benefit, no tax break for anyone or any institution, any organization in America that denies full human rights and full civil rights of every one of us. And so as president, we're going to make that a priority and we're going to stop those who are infringing upon the human rights of our fellow Americans." Did you catch that? The basis for right and wrong has become human rights or civil rights. The right to what? The right to moral autonomy becomes justice, becomes virtue. If you have a culture that bases right and wrong on human moral autonomy, upon what people desire, you have Sodom and Gomorrah. You probably heard about this recent court case in the UK. A British doctor who had been working at the Department for Work and Pensions for over 30 years was fired for saying that in a hypothetical scenario, he would never call any 6-foot bearded man a madam. He never even offended anyone by misusing their pronouns. He was fired for suggesting the possibility. So the case was brought before a Birmingham employment court, which said that the doctor's beliefs have no place in British society. Quote, "A belief in Genesis 1:27, where God made man and woman, lack of belief in transgenderism, and conscientious objection to transgenderism, in our judgment, are incompatible with human dignity and conflict with the fundamental rights of others." That is the new worldview. Your biblical beliefs, practicing your beliefs, conflict with the rights of other people to sin. So here we see the new basis for ethics, human dignity. What is right is what affirms and dignifies you the most, rather than what the Western world was built on, that what is right is the law of nature and nature's God. In fact, sin will always thwart the dignity of the criminal. But this British court actually was espousing here a satanic worldview, that God's values hurt us, that they thwart our human dignity. This is the lie of the devil back in Genesis chapter 3 in the garden. And Christians today need to understand and explain and expose this new foundation for right and wrong. This is a new foundation for moral authority, for beliefs. Society is no longer building law and values on the law of God, but now on human freedom. Whatever you desire, whatever makes you feel fulfilled. And on this new foundation, God's laws are not just abrogated. They're actually judged to be bigotry, prejudice, discrimination, hateful, and harmful. And the mistake some conservatives are making is thinking that we can still have God's laws accepted in our society built on this new foundation. But we're never going to return our nation to morality unless we first move society and our societal leaders back onto God's foundation. So don't just argue the policies. Get to the root of the issue, because that is where people have to do business with God. That's where the soul faces the choice to be for or against God. So what is your basis for right and wrong? Is it the word of God or your own human autonomy? Now let's quickly cover some of the statements made by the Democratic candidates, which further illustrate the LGBTQ worldview and further illustrate how the Democratic Party has embraced this new godless foundation for morals. Kamala Harris walks out on stage stating that her preferred pronouns are she, her, and hers. Here's the video.
Good to see you, Senator. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
How are you? Anna, thank you, guys. And my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
She, her, and hers.
So she begins by affirming and celebrating the view that everyone should be able to pick his or her own pronouns, that gender is fluid, that gender is to be self-identified, rather than the Christian view that we're to submit to our biological gender, that men are not to act like women or women like men. You know, for Harris, reality is whatever you believe reality to be. She also went on to say that it was her joy to officiate the first same-sex marriage in San Francisco. I would not want to give account for that on the Day of Judgment. She was also asked how she would reach out to voters in small conservative areas concerning LGBTQ issues. She said that she will share the story of all the families who came to that first same-sex wedding ceremony in San Francisco. The group that was so large and was so full of pure joy, you could feel it. People who loved each other and had the ability for their love now to be recognized by law. So our argument is to look at how it made these people feel. Cory Booker was asked what he plans to do about the alleged rising number of hate crimes against members of the LGBT community. Booker responded by saying that he would create an office on hate crimes and white supremacy. And we all understand that that could easily morph into, you know, government agencies targeting those who speak up against the immorality of homosexuality and transgenderism. But then Booker went on to explain that he would also replace the current Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, with someone who will protect LGBTQ children. Betsy DeVos is a Christian, And she revoked the Obama administration's mandate that public schools allow for bathroom choice based upon a student's gender preference. And Booker's policy here is in keeping with the LGBTQ's belief that we need to teach our children that gender is a choice, not a biological mandate. So Booker thinks Betsy DeVos must go. Booker also agreed with Beto O'Rourke. Booker said he could not allow people using religion to justify discrimination. Then he went on to quote Micah chapter 6, verse 8, to prove religion should not discriminate against homosexuals. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And here's a great example of how false teachers can twist the scripture to their own agenda. Booker is assuming a definition of justice that is on the foundation of humanism. That justice is giving people moral autonomy, equality in moral choice. Then he takes this humanist definition and superposes it on the Bible. And everyone who doesn't know the biblical definition of justice thinks that the Bible here is supporting marriage equality and transgenderism just because the Bible says there ought to be justice. But this is absolute foolishness. This is moral blindness on a spiritual level. And this is what Romans chapter 1 teaches. That the minds of the unsaved are kept in check by God. But a person in their abandonment of God can come to the place where God gives him over to a twisted mind. And this is mentioned three times in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1:24, God gave them over in the lust of their heart to impurity. Romans 1:26, God gave them over to degrading passions. Romans 1:28, God gave them over to a depraved mind. And this explains how it was that political leaders in the past would be repulsed even at the mention of homosexuality or transvestites. But now politicians and social leaders embrace it as a virtue because their conscience is seared, their minds are far from the law of God, they are darkened in their understanding because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. And when people abandon God, they become vain in their futile speculations and their foolish hearts are darkened. And this brings us to the most depraved response of the event, coming from the Democrat frontrunner Elizabeth Warren. First, Elizabeth Warren was asked how she would respond to a religious person, those old-fashioned people, who believe marriage is between one man and one woman. Here's the question. And here's her response.
Let's say you're on the campaign trail and you're approached.
You have been, yes.
And a supporter approaches you and says, Senator, I am old fashioned and my faith teaches me that marriage is between one man and one woman. What is your response?
Well, I'm going to assume it's a guy who said that. And I'm going to say, then just marry one woman. Assuming you can find one.
So notice Warren's condescending moral arrogancy. Romans chapter 3, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Warren completely disregarded the moral law of God, that homosexuality is abomination to God. She set herself up as a moral authority. Not only the arrogance of believing her own moral authority, but she actually mocks God and God's people. And this is Jude 18, mockers who will come in the last day following their own desires, their own opinions, their own lusts. And it got even worse. A mother had her daughter, who is transitioning into being a boy, a 9-year-old, asked Senator Warren what she would do to protect her from those who oppose her transitioning. Now, Warren answers this by saying that, like Booker, she's going to get rid of the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos. Remember, Betsy DeVos is that Christian with those Christian values. But notice how Warren applauds and affirms this little girl's gender dysphoria.
Sia and his mom, Mimi, who's an advocate for transgender youth and active with the Human Rights Campaign. Jacob is an elementary school student from Massachusetts, likes to play hockey. Jacob.
All right, Jacob.
My name is Jacob, and I'm a 9-year-old transgender American. Uh-huh. My question is...
All right, Jacob. Hold on.
What will you do in your first week as president to make sure that kids like me feel safer in schools? And what do you think schools need to do better to make sure that I don't have to worry about anything but my homework?
Oh, I like that question, Jacob.
NBC did an interview with this family a number of months ago, and these parents are all into the LGBTQ ideology. They're activists. They believe that gender is a choice. When the parents were asked about it, they said ultimately Jacob has to make that choice in his mind and his heart, whether or not we accept it or not. You know, we're all born with sin. We all have sinful tendencies. We all have twisted desires. And our thoughts and our desires, we must grow to conform to the will of God. But these parents refuse to give any moral mandates or direction to their child. They leave the child to his or her natural sinful self, to natural depravity. Here's one article about the damage being done to these young people who are being told they can change their gender. Stories like these are appearing everywhere, but you're not going to hear the mainstream media reporting about it because it contradicts the LGBTQ worldview. Hundreds of young trans people seeking to return to their original sex. I'm in communication with 19 and 20-year-olds who have had full gender reassignment surgery who wish they hadn't. And their dysphoria has not been relieved. They don't feel better for it, she says. They don't know what their options are now. You know, God is very serious about submitting to your God-given gender. The command is not just implied in Genesis 3:17, where God made them men and women. In the moral law of God, there is a prohibition against even wearing clothing that pertains to the opposite gender, lest you identify with the opposite gender. Deuteronomy 22:5, a woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on woman's clothing. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. God despises this kind of rebellion against his will for your life. And there ought to be a deep sense of shame and remorse in ever putting on clothing of the opposite gender, because it's unnatural, because it's an affront to God. But for Elizabeth Warren, as we read in Romans chapter 1, she's given over to a depraved mind, and so she applauds transgenderism rather than weeping. Elizabeth Warren is so far invested in this ideology that gender should be a choice. She even wants tax-funded transgender surgeries for inmates. Well, there are many other statements made in this town hall that were an affront to God, such as Pete Buttigieg saying that being anti-LGBTQ makes God smaller. But let me conclude with Joe Biden's comments. One of the things that's noticed in Biden's speeches is that he always gets his facts wrong. He always quotes sources and statistics from the left that have been thoroughly debunked. And in this town hall, Biden makes the claim that gay couples are more likely to stay together longer than heterosexual couples. Now, that has been thoroughly debunked. Homosexual marriages do not last longer than heterosexual marriages. In fact, they are usually open marriages that involve lots of extramarital sexual encounters. But Biden prefers to believe the propaganda. Then Biden was asked a question by Judy Shepard, mother of Matthew Shepard, a homosexual man who was killed back in 1998, allegedly by anti-homosexual bullies. Matthew Shepard became the poster boy for gay rights and for passing hate crimes against those who persecute homosexuals. I believe an important point to be made here is that later it was revealed that Matthew Shepard was not killed by homophobes. He was killed by being in a bad drug deal and by a fellow homosexual. Here's just one article, The Truth Behind America's Most Famous Gay Hate Murder. Matthew Shepard's horrific death at the hands of redneck homophobes shocked America and changed its laws. Now a different truth emerges, but it doesn't matter. You know, it kind of reminds us of the lie that was the basis for Roe versus Wade, which, of course, caused abortion to be legalized in America. But the whole story behind Jane Roe was a big lie. It was all media propaganda. And so also a lot of recent LGBTQ policy has been based upon media propaganda, even this Matthew Shepard myth. But the story really doesn't matter. What matters for most people is the LGBTQ narrative that traditional morality will lead to hate. Biden believes the propaganda. And the solution Biden proposes here is the passing of the Equality Act. As Biden states, all of the Democrat candidates want to pass the Equality Act, which would effectively overturn the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The Equality Act would make any moral judgments against homosexual behavior or transgenderism a crime. Now, this town hall took place on Thursday night. The next day was Friday, which is National Coming Out of the Closet Day, which is really amazing that America actually has a day celebrating coming out of the closet saying that you're homosexual. But it was appropriate because all these candidates were coming out of the closet. They were exposing their full dedication to the LGBTQ worldview and agenda. But let me conclude here with some words of encouragement for God's people, a way to view this biblically. Don't look at this town hall as being a victory for the homosexual movement or for the world, for the left. This was not their advancement. This was not their victory. This was their defeat. Romans chapter 1, when God gives a people over to the lust of their hearts, over to futile speculations, over to unnatural, degrading passions, that is the judgment of God. These sins do not simply call for the judgment of God. These sins, these beliefs, are the judgment of God. Being given over to a depraved mind is the judgment of God. So the individual will act in a way that will bring the judgment of God down upon his head. What we saw in this town hall was not their advancement, but the foreshadowing of their coming destruction. It was as if each of these candidates were telling everyone to find the nearest precipice and jump off of it. I mean, do we believe what the Word of God says about this? Galatians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. I mean, if we believe the Word of God, we would understand that these politicians were engaging in self-immolation. I mean, if we're fearful, if we're worried, we really don't believe the word. I mean, do we really think that those who sow to the flesh will reap blessing and success? No, they're ruining their own souls. They're destroying their families. They're destroying their neighbors, their communities, their districts, their own party. They are bringing the judgment of God down upon their heads. I mean, they're playing the little game of fantasy, but this game is going to soon be exposed, because the one who sows to the flesh will reap destruction. And we can say that with all authority. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 8, he who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. Do we believe that? If we do, our reaction will not be fear, but confidence. And that confidence will be our witness and our testimony before the world. That's what Paul writes in Philippians 1:28. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that from God. So be confident in the Lord our God. Jesus Christ is our captain. He will win the battle. He has won the battle. So thanks for including God and country as part of your discipleship in the Word. God is showing us wonderful things in His Word, and He's illustrating these things and events in this world. May God help you to grow into the fullness of Christ, because God is preparing us to rule and reign with Him over His creation for all eternity. May God continue to bless you as you continue in the Word, and as you continue to prepare to rule and reign with Jesus Christ.